Live Wild's Connection Matters podcast, bringing together heart-centered, nature-connected, curious people who share the inquiry, how can we create a connected and meaningful way of living that brings more health, happiness and growth to our world? My name is Leona Johnson and I am your host. Hello, beautiful humans, and welcome to episode 11 of Connection Matters podcast. I'm bringing you today a conversation that I had with Jem Ayres right in the middle of lockdown. Jem Ayres is a certified sex geek, she says in her own words, and we discussed at that point ways in which we could build connection to our own bodies and stay connected despite all of the distractions that are available to us. And it feels to me like this conversation is more relevant now than ever. Now that we're back into the flow of things after lockdown, the busyness of life has taken over. I'm certainly feeling it. I'm not sure about you, but yeah, so when I re-listened to this episode before I did this intro, it really hit home, actually. It was quite useful, so I hope you also find it useful. To give you a little background on Jem, she is a orgasmic embodiment coach, a sexological body worker, tantra practitioner and teacher. She is the founder of Orgasmic Embodiment and regularly leads workshops, retreats and hosts talks on conscious sexuality. She also does a lot of online work. She has 10 years experience in the field of self-development through the body, and Jem now preaches what she likes to call sexual self-development. Overcoming stage 4 cancer became her focus for a while, and through this process she embraced and worked with the healing power of orgasm, as well as lots of other alternative and progressive ways of thinking about the body and healing. Multi-talented and creative, she is passionate about helping people to connect with themselves through the body, fine-tuning into the subtleties of our life force, using sexual energy to fuel all areas of our life. Woof! Yeah, it's a great chat, so I hope you take as much from it as I did. I'm certainly grateful to Jem for agreeing to chat with me, and there's so much there to connect with her on if you're interested. All of the links are in the show notes. Also, before we go on, a little reminder to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already by hitting that little subscribe button below, and that way you'll get all of the episodes straight into your inbox. And our Patreon offer for this month is, well, if you don't know about Patreon, it's a way of supporting us for as little as £3 a month. So what's that? The price of a coffee? Less than the price of a pint? And that £3 a month goes towards the running costs of this podcast. Obviously, during lockdown, we were able to do this for free because we had more time. Now life has kicked in again. It really makes a difference, the small amounts of money that people are already pledging. Thank you, you know who you are. And yeah, if you feel able to, we'd be immensely grateful. And the offer for this week is an interview that was conducted with myself with a student from Bradford University who is on the Peace, Resilience and Social Justice course, and she's exploring the relationship between ecological grief and resilience based on the experience of practitioners in climate activism and community resilience. And she'd like to know how emotions play a role in efforts of building resilience and how resilience itself affects the emotional responses under ecological grief. She's been listening to the podcast, to all of the episodes, and she felt inspired enough to make contact and speak to me about that. So we had a really lovely conversation, really rich and deep, and it definitely saw me unpicking a lot of my reasons behind things and gives a good view of my thoughts on a lot of these issues. So if that's of interest to you, that subject, then that will be one of the many amazing offers that are already on our Patreon. And we've had lots of voices saying that, you know, the offers on our Patreon are really generous, and so you also get the free downloads, etc. as a bonus for supporting us. So hop over there to www.patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast. I think that's it from me. So without further ado, this is Jem Ayres. Hello, Jem.
Hey, Leona.
It's really nice to speak to you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the Connection Matters podcast.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
No problem.
It's great to just be part of something that you're putting out into the world around connection. For me, that, you know, that really fuels me. So I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Brilliant. So I like to start with sharing some gratitude, if that's all right with you. I'm feeling right now very grateful for the blue sky above my head. It's been on and off grey and rainy for a few days, and I guess I'm really grateful for the weather generally that we've had over the last sort of six or seven weeks, which has been pretty dry and fresh and clear, and it's really enabled me to get out and be in my garden and take the walks where I live, which is very beautiful. I'm also grateful today because my children are here downstairs, and they've been away for a couple of weeks at their dad's, so it's really nice to have them back and have their boisterous, joyful energy around.
So I'm grateful for my body, and I'm grateful for my body being able to feel as much as it can, feel the sun and feel the wind, and just allowing myself to fully absorb what's going on in the environment around me, whether we perceive that as good or bad weather. It's the changes that I really value of our seasons. And another gratitude for me that I would like to put out there is gratitude for human spirit and resourcefulness. And these challenging times are really bringing around, you know, seeing people's creativity and how we can get around situations, and really just bringing it home about how resourceful we are as a human race. And it's just beautiful to witness.
That's really nice to hear. Thank you. Yes, tuning into body, feeling, and just really feeling. I'm just thinking about how we originally connected, which was a few years ago now, when my friend Laura was still alive. And it was through a mutual friend, wasn't it, who put us in connection because she knew that you'd had an amazing and interesting journey with your healing yes. from stage 4 cancer. And at the time, my friend was on an incredible healing journey as well, which sadly
she
didn't make it, but she did feel like she'd healed lots. So it was great to be put in touch with you then. And it was because of that that I ended up joining one of your introduction to women's pleasure weekends down in London as well, if you remember. And that was, again, I guess that's one of the reasons why I thought it would be really great to have you here, because when I joined that workshop, I had never done anything in the sexuality field or the tantra or anything like that, so it was quite daring for me. But when I got there, what I loved about it was that so much of it was really related to what I already knew from the connection work that I'd been doing, the spiritual connection work and the broader spectrum relational work that I'd been learning over the years. And I thought, gosh, you know, this is what it's about, really. It's about connection. It's not about that's nature connection, that's sex stuff, you know, this is something else, but it's actually all the same. So I just thought I'd love to sort of open it with this and share that, because I don't know if I've ever told you, you know, how profound it was that weekend to feel so included, and just such a beautiful and powerful weekend. And I wonder if you from here would like to share a little bit more about who you are and what it is that you actually do.
Thank you, that's so beautiful to hear. Thank you so much. I really, the feedback I get from the work really does fuel me, actually. So, my name's Jem Ayres, and I'm a sexological body worker, and no one really knows what that means. I'm also trained in Tantra and sacred spirituality, where kind of sacred sex and heart and body and mind are all connected. So I feel I've got a really great mix of science and the spiritual aspect and the soul connection. So I call myself a sex coach because it's the easiest way to describe what I do. But my work is a lot bigger than just a sex coach. You know, I'm not teaching people, you know, techniques, even though I can teach people techniques, and I do sometimes. But actually, it's a much wider scope of how do we really tune into our own bodies to allow our capacity for pleasure to expand. And that's capacity for pleasure in all spectrums of life. It doesn't just have to be around sexuality. And when people come to me and say they want a better sex life with their partners, for example, the first question I ask is, okay, so what's your, how do you touch yourself? What is your connection with yourself and your own body and your own sexuality? And often people say, oh, I don't, because I've got a partner, so I don't need to touch myself, or I'm too busy to touch myself. And we have these funny beliefs about what self-pleasure means, that it just means masturbation, and it just, and it's just something you do if you're desperate, or if you're in a sexless marriage, or if you're a teenage boy. We've got all these stories around what self-touch and self-pleasure means. But actually, when I work with it, it's a celebration of your own body, and it's a devotional act to yourself. And it really is, it's almost like putting your own oxygen mask on first, so that you are then able to give to others. So many of us are in this world feeling quite empty and quite lost and looking for something outside of ourselves to fuel us. Whereas actually, if we find a way to, you know, inner our own inner resource to regulate ourselves, then we can be so full and overbrimming that we have just an amazing abundance to give in the world. So I always say to people, you might find yourself have a better sex life through your work with me, but actually what you might find before that is you might find that you're building better connections with your partner or your children or your mum. You might find that you are birthing new businesses, or that you're just attracting better people to you, or you're making more money, or you've just kind of suddenly got a creative overflow of projects going on in your world. Because it really is looking at how that connection with our own body comes first and is the foundation for us. And with that, without that foundation, we're just stepping into the world quite shaky, a bit like grass blade, a blade of grass being battered about in the wind. Whereas if we're more solid, then we really step up to the challenges in life, and we're able to deal with them in far more resourced or creative or joyful way, even. And that was a lot around my work when I had cancer as well, was actually how can I really fuel myself through what could have been a really terrible experience, because that's what the stories out there tell you about cancer and the process of healing through cancer, is that it's, you know, suffering or survival at best. And I just wanted to figure out how I could be in my most joyous. And so I very quickly figured out what filled me the most with joy, every single cell of my body with joy. And I did as much of that as possible.
Well, I love what you said about pleasure. And I feel like one of the things that stuck out for me, actually, from the workshop that I did with you, was that the scale of pleasure, and how we have a scale of pleasure from 0 to 100%. And let's say the orgasm and, you know, and intercourse and that kind of sexual activity is something like the last 10%, from 90 to 100%.
I usually kind of say the pleasure scale from 1 to 10, if you like.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, 10, 8, 9 and 10. That's the high energy kind of peak orgasmic experiences in our life, if you like. But we kind of ignore the low level pleasure or the relaxed arousal, as I like to call it.
Yeah. And I love that, because it just, it changes the way that you look at everything, doesn't it? If you can actually not see your own pleasure, whether that, whether it, as a, as part of the journey, but it is in its is and of itself a thing that should be treasured and created and yeah,
for sure. And also that means if we kind of recognize our own little pleasure scale, we kind of also stop striving for things to be any better than they currently are, which is a beautiful place to be. Because walking in the park, okay, it might not be orgasmic, but it could be a 2 or a 3 on the pleasure scale. And that's a really great place to be. Mm. And when we translate this to sex, whether that's with ourselves or with a partner, it's actually really enjoying being at a 3 or a 4 with your partner instead of trying to push your body or their body up a level, you know, just really enjoying what's happening at the moment and letting it unfold instead of trying to navigate or, you know, have a goal in mind.
And we're not taught to have awareness of our body state, are we? Our body's intelligence, our body's brain, and how we, because we store and hold a lot of emotion and experience in our body, don't we? And I really find, you know, in the last few years, that for me has been absolutely groundbreaking, really, to learn techniques and practices that help me go into my own body and really notice what I'm feeling in a moment and be able to then be with that so that it transforms and transmutes into whatever's next. But I know for a fact that I've spent most of my life really ignoring the signs that my body has been giving me, and I feel that that's really what our society forces upon us, isn't it?
For sure. Whether it's working with people around sex or whether it's working with people with cancer, you know, emotional release is a really big deal, actually. I mean, I didn't suddenly go from healthy to stage 4 cancer overnight. There were red flags in my body that I was ignoring. And, you know, I didn't know I was ignoring anything. I was just getting on with my normal little life and day-to-day routines and the rat race that I'd created for myself. But we're taught in this society to tolerate suffering. We're not taught to tolerate pleasure. And this is a lot of my work is teaching people that they can open up to more pleasure in their life, and that's okay. And because sometimes it can just get too much. But we're taught from very young to tolerate suffering and a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. So we're massively resilient and we don't notice how it changes us and it builds up and our body holds on to that stress or that trauma, even if they're just low level traumas. The body builds this physical tension. You can think of it as an armor, if you like, which actually it can stop blood flow. It can stop the oxygen getting to, you know, organs, because we just, the fascia and everything can just tighten and knit together when we're in our stress or our slight sympathetic nervous system, that place of fight and flight, which most of us are living in every day when we know that we have to make money and we have to find the right food and we have to look after our children and, you know, what will people think if I lose my job and go off and sit in a cave for 3 weeks or whatever those big dreams we all have, whether that's buying a sports car or, you know, moving to Spain, whatever it is. There's something in us that's taught not to tolerate pleasure, but to tolerate suffering very well. And yet our body holds on to that amazingly well. Our body does an amazing job at keeping us going. It's our mind, I think, that is kind of working against our body quite often.
And it's, you know, we live in a, up until very recently, because we, by the time this is released, we will have been in lockdown from COVID-19 for 2 or more months. And so up until that point, we were living what we call normal life, where we're busy, we're going out to work, we're getting kids to schools, or we've got, you know, 101 social engagements and we're trying to please everybody else and keep our friends happy and keep ourselves fit and or not. And we, you know, we're tied up with all of the shoulds and shouldn'ts and expectations. And yet, you know, there's a lot of joy and pleasure in that. That's the life we know. Things have changed a lot in the last few months with lockdown and a lot of the things that we knew as keeping us going now not available to us. So we're in a situation where we're being faced with ourselves in a different way for the first time ever. I wonder how that, I'm really curious how that is going to play out. I'm wondering what thoughts you've had about that.
Oh, so I've definitely been challenged with my own company and my own mind when I don't have my normal routine. And I see this with my clients as well. So I do online clients, I do online one-to-one sessions, and I work with couples, and I also do online groups. And I'm getting the same thing echoed back to me, that without our routines and our structures that keep us in place, literally our anchors that kind of keep us grounded, people are slightly going off the wall. Mm. And there's a bit of me that kind of appreciates how I went a little bit mad during lockdown, just for a few days. And it was fascinating, actually. And maybe the world needs a little bit more madness. You know, we don't actually need to pull our socks up and put on the mask and get on with life as much as we generally do. But from what I'm hearing, people are really struggling, you know. And they're not able to resource themselves to be able to look after themselves and the challenges that are coming up for them. Because we've got more space and more time than we ever had before. And what's happening is all of the old patterns and habits that we don't want to look at, and all the old beliefs that we don't want to look at, are all creeping out, whether that's through dreams, whether that's through negative talk. And what's happening is people are trying to find ways to stop that from happening. They're trying to resource themselves, but without being able to distract themselves so much with friends and family and appointments and, you know, their yoga classes and all the rest of those things that we do, which ultimately on the surface are very, very happy, but they are actually distractions. So without those, what I'm finding is people are starting to drink more. People are popular overeating as well. People are reaching for pornography more than they feel is healthy for themselves, because, you know, they're very lonely. And people are locked down with their partners and suddenly starting to realize that with all of this time that actually they do have problems in their relationship or in their sex life. And people have lost the ability to self-resource, I call it, where you can reach inside for something which is your anchor and your strength. I'm hearing a lot of people, you know, texting unhealthy ex-boyfriends, for example, and or just spending 3 days in a row on the sofa watching Netflix, eating chips. And do you know what? I've been there for sure. I feel like I'm preaching a little bit now. And there's enough of us. There's a big part of us that sometimes needs to have a little bit of a meltdown and be okay with that. But if lockdown is to be going on for weeks/months, it's a long old time to not have a resource. And it's a long old time to not have any physical touch. I mean, you know, babies don't survive if they're not given touch. Premature babies who are kept in incubators for weeks and months, you know, really struggle actually often as adults to in relationships or as children to form friendships. And so there's a real thing about physical touch that we need as a human animal, I'm going to call us for a moment, because we're not a machine. We are biology, we are nature. And so we do need to be outdoors. We do need to see the sun. We do need physical touch and contact. So a lot of my work at the moment is teaching people how they can resource themselves instead of reaching for the unhealthy habits.
So what would that mean? What does that mean? What does it look like? I mean, obviously, you're not going to do us a whole session here, but...
Well, there's loads of different things you can do, and lots of different people find what really works for them. But for me, especially around touch, is learning how to touch ourselves and be with ourselves in a new way. And often when people think about self-touch or touch themselves, what we do is we've created a habit usually of what we know works for us. And we go to, well, let's talk about genital touch for a moment. Let's talk about the classic kind of masturbation techniques, if you like. My work is a lot bigger than this, but when I talk about self-touch, everyone assumes we're talking about masturbation. So let's talk about that. in the sense of these are ways of touching our body that we learn usually when we're younger, maybe when we're a teenager, maybe when we're even younger. And usually it works really well when we're younger, and it's one kind of stroke or a hard and fast technique, and it gets us off. And because it works, we stick with it. But what happens over time is that our bodies change and our mind grows, and we find that what used to work for us doesn't work for us anymore. But there are no books out there particularly offered out to tell us how we could do this in a new way. I mean, there are now, there's lots of Taoist teachings and urban tantra books, but it's not something that we're necessarily encouraged to explore. We're not encouraged to explore our own body. We've been brought up almost to believe that we're robots, if you like. Mm. But our pleasure is not a one-size-fits-all situation. Mm-hmm. It really actually takes time to figure out what your specific sexual expression looks like. And what it looked like yesterday doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the same today or tomorrow. So just allowing yourself to have curiosity around your body. Mm. So this is what I'm currently teaching people, is how they can have curiosity around their body and what brings them pleasure. Mm-hmm. And that might not even, they might not get anywhere near their genitals for that. I'm having reports of people having amazing experiences for spending time with their toes and their ankles, or like full body bliss states just from really light feather-like touch on their wrists or their collarbones. Mm-hmm. And it's just, how do we, now that we've got this time and space to slow down, we don't have the excuse of time anymore. Mm-hmm. And everything I'm running, I'm offering at, you know, kind of a pay what you can afford. So money and time actually isn't an excuse anymore. Mm-hmm. So now we need to look at, why am I not learning to be really devotional to my body now that I've got this opportunity? And now actually when it's really vitally needed to fuel me so that I can, you know, be a fuller person in the world.
I guess that was my next question. It's like, okay, so obviously everybody would like to have good techniques for touching themselves so that they feel good. But what else can being in connection with yourself in that kind of way bring? And why would you spend time devoting that kind of energy to yourself?
What's the benefits? yeah, what's the point? Because it seems rather indulgent, doesn't it? And your nan probably wouldn't approve. So what is the point? So I know, and I can only speak for myself, and I hear this echoed a lot in clients, but for myself, I know that when I first started this work, I definitely didn't get a better sex life overnight. In fact, I didn't even expect that would ever happen. I thought it all sounded a bit woolly, you know, having orgasms in your toes. I was like, that was just completely unachievable from where I was when I first started my own sexual self-development journey. But what I noticed was I slowly became more confident and more self-assured, and I became really motivated and creative, and I birthed a new business almost overnight. So sexual energy is basically where life comes from, whether it's life force or chi or prana. It's all about life force and energy. And if we're not using that to make children, and if we're not using it, like putting it out into the world, it's, you know, something will occur. You can't have an experience of really connecting with your sexual energy and not produce something, whether that's creative new projects, whether that's a business, whether that's a flourishing relationship, whether that's children. Mm-hmm. Something beautiful can be born out of this if you're allowing it. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I led a self-pleasure session on Sunday, self-pleasure Sunday we called it, and it was at 11:30 in the afternoon, and we specifically did that because I kind of almost wanted to make it a little bit like church. It's like, come on, three Sundays in a row, we're going to celebrate our body. And we're not going to do it at the usual time when you might celebrate your body, like at last thing at night, mm-hmm. or first thing in the morning, or when you're horny, but we're actually going to schedule it in our diary. 11:30 on a Sunday, we're going to spend an hour and a half really just celebrating our body and whatever that looks like. And I led people through a process. At the start, I did teach some technique around touch, full body touch as well as genital touch. And then afterwards, I just led people through a process of being curious with their body and breathing more and feeling more and pausing more and shaking and moving and making sound and allowing a long out breath to really drop into sensation, because we're tuning into really subtle sensations here. Mm. And what happened at the end was everyone just reported how the word sweet kept coming up, actually, how sweet it was to spend that time with our body. Mm. And lots of people had worked with me before, and some people were completely new. So there was really, no one really had any expectations of it being, you know, multi-orgasmic. And I don't think it was for most people. It was just sweet, and it was nourishing, and it was nurturing, and it was being kind to ourselves. And it was learning, tuning in and going, actually, what does my body need right now? Does it need a 10 out of 10 orgasmic experience, or does it just need a bit of holding and a bit of stroking? And that Sunday was quite amazing for both myself and my partner. So we weren't in the experience. We were just leading it. But the rest of that day suddenly felt so much brighter and more spacious. Mm. And there's often an excuse we give ourselves is we don't have enough time to nourish ourselves, whether that's touch, whether that's eating healthy food, or whether that's taking a walk in a park. We don't have enough time. But what I'm finding is when we do those things to nourish ourselves, actually the day opens up and something inside of us becomes more spacious. Mm. Our urgency or our anxiety shifts so that whatever we approach in the day, we approach with just more, I want to say greater awareness. I don't know what I mean by that, actually. Yeah, greater awareness.
Or I know just what you mean about that. I mean, I have the same feeling when I do any of my practices. If I go out, even if I go out for a run, or if I get up in the morning and do some yoga, or if I do something that I know is intentionally good for me, you know, is good for me, even if I know I've got a full day ahead, and sometimes I would avoid doing extra in the morning to because of that, but actually it does something to time, doesn't it? It does something strange to time. It allows you to do those good things for yourself, and also you seem that you feel like you have more spaciousness for the rest of the day. I really, really resonate with that.
Yeah. When we're nourished, what we can do is we can drop out of fight and flight into that parasympathetic space of into a parasympathetic nervous system, which is the space of just being able to rest and relax and to digest food and digest experiences that are going on around us, which ultimately means that we've stepped off of the rat race, basically. We're not on that hamster wheel going round. We're strolling alongside next to it. And the hamster wheel is still going on, but we're slightly stepped away from it.
So,
ultimately, we can be more productive from that place.
Yeah, that feels, you know, that's often what we want of putting some time into ourselves, isn't it? It's like we have this self-improvement, wanting to be more productive, wanting to be more efficient. And that's a really good thing. It can also be another distraction, actually. But but I do think, you know, doing those things and connecting more to ourselves and allowing ourselves to step into our full power and allowing ourselves to step into our potential is an incredible space to inhabit. The other thing I was wondering, though, is how is it for people who've never had anything like this before, never had any of the pleasure, the indulgence, the connecting with themselves in an intimate and gentle and nourishing way? How does that affect people who've never had anything like that before? Because I imagine it's probably quite groundbreaking and possibly challenging.
Revolutionary. Can be both. Yeah. We have tears. You know, we always say on our online groups that you're completely welcome exactly as you are. And some people are, you know, really full of life and enjoying the practices. And other people are thrown up against challenges because they're completely new, or they've had experiences in the past which have been traumatic or less pleasant. And when we start looking at all of these things around our pleasure and what holds us back around really being in our pleasure, we start to find things that are going on behind the scenes, so to speak. The little things that we don't look at, or we don't like to look at, or we don't like to bring out at the dinner table, so to speak. And just we start to notice those things. And that's what's going on now in this day, because we've got more time to just sit with ourselves. And it's that age-old excuse of I don't have time to look at this, or if I look at this, I don't want to see what's going on, or if I start crying, I feel like I will never stop. And sometimes we can go into self-protection mode, which is really important. God, it's really important that we have self-protection mode. And sometimes we're not ready to look at those things. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important that you find a supportive group or a practitioner to hold your hand through this process as well, so that you're supported to step, to nudge yourself ever so slightly out of your comfort zone into the learning zone. It's that place where we stretch and expand just a little bit, and then we can come back to the comfort zone to process that experience. So yeah, it can be really challenging for people. But generally in my group, I mean, on Sunday, you know, I had tears in my eyes by the end of it because it was just beautiful. Some people's feedback, I've never done anything like it before, had always focused on their partner's pleasure, for example, and never really taught that they were, you know, they had a body, so to speak. And just they're experiencing themselves completely new, like waking up with fresh eyes every day, I think one of my clients said.
Imagine if we were taught this, you know, by our parents. Imagine if we were taught it in schools, or, you know, I know that probably rings alarm bells for lots of people, because we have all this fear around sex and connection to our bodies and touch, and especially now, I really hope that we're able to go back as a human race and really move towards physical touch again, and not always have this ingrained fear, because I see some kids really like, you know, it's gone in now. It's gone in that touch is bad. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can quickly reestablish that. But imagine if we had a world where we were able to, you know, we did have a healthy relationship to touch and mutual pleasure, and, you know, friends offering each other massages. And, you know, some people do have networks of friends like that, but it's not really the norm, is it? Not for it to be, part of, seen as being an essential part of life,
for sure. And I think it's not the norm at all. And yeah, I'm very easy with my work, and I speak really openly about it, and I completely forget that my work isn't normal. And, you know, I'm sure there are people out there that think that I'm, you know, when I talk about running self-pleasure circles online, people think that it's, you know, just a cover up for a group masturbation or orgies or swingers parties or any of those things, which are totally great if that's what you want to do. It's just not my work, actually. And it's like, how do we really get it into our body as a celebration, instead of voyeurism or exhibitionism, or instead of giving our pleasure away for another? And yeah, these things aren't taught. And wouldn't it be great by our elders, or in red tents or spaces of initiation, where both boys and girls can step into adulthood with a new sense of learning or a sense of embodiment, actually. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. We're so head focused in society. The head is worshipped, you know, knowledge is worshipped, information is worshipped. But then actually learning about our body, even if you look at it from the case of food and health, and there's not enough information out there. Even our doctors, who are supposed to be the most knowledgeable people about our bodies, don't do any training, or incredibly very little training, around nutrition.
Well, this brings me to the other way that we've connected, which was through your health retreat. I don't remember the name of it, but it was
it might have been called the Body, Mind, Soul Retreat, or something along those lines.
So it was my parents, who were both struggling a little bit with low level persistent health complaints, and I was wondering what they're quite young, my parents. Well, they had me when they were quite young, so they're not, you know, they're still relatively fit and healthy, but I was noticing more and more small ailments. And I was thinking, what can I do for them? What can I offer them as a way of them connecting more to themselves in a way that seems something they can listen to? And of course, you know, your body, mind, soul retreat came up and was way too expensive for what I thought I was going to go for. But actually, once I decided to go for it for both of them, I really just felt like, you know, imagine if I sent them away for that weekend and something actually shifted for them. And guess what? Mm. I just can't imagine how, I couldn't have imagined how impactful that weekend would have been. But they absolutely, not ever having done anything like what you offered before, they came
nothing
home.
Holistic or alternative,
nothing
really.
Holistic, no. Or alternative or mindset based or, you know, personal life coaching or meditation or
self-development
or nutrition, all of those things that you included, which, you know, sounded fantastic. I wish I could have come too, but yeah, they came home and completely changed their life. And still, you know, my dad, having been, you know, full-blown meat eater for his entire life, is now 60 plus and is still a vegetarian, not completely vegan.
He looked great last time I saw him. Yeah. He was shining, he was beaming, he was smiling, he looked happier, he'd lost weight.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Was that 3 years ago they were on the retreat with me?
Yeah,
something like
about
that.
3 years ago. And, you know, it was so impactful that his PSA levels, he had high PSA levels, which is an indicator of prostate cancer, early indicator. And it changed so much that his PSA levels dropped right down. He didn't need to go, or chose not to.
And that was only in a month
biopsy.
Or two, wasn't it? A couple
of
months?
And, yeah. You know, how fantastic is that when you really believe that you don't have any choice over your own, or you don't have that amount of power over your body. You know, if you
this
get a
is
scare.
What my work is about. It's about choice and empowerment.
Yes.
Whether it is around sex, whether it is around cancer, whether it is around diet choices that we make, it's all about empowerment and realizing that actually we do have a choice and that one size does not fit all for everyone.
No.
So what, and we have to take a bit of time to figure out what is right for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a gluten-free, sugar-free vegan, but I'm not a massive preacher of that, because I also appreciate that what works for me isn't necessarily going to be the right fit for someone else. So it's just, we have to kind of figure out how to break out of the mold. And when I speak to other people about diet changes, they say, oh, but I don't want to be the awkward one. But what I'm really hearing is that they don't believe that their needs are worthy of being met, or that as an individual I'm allowed to have different needs to the rest of the herd or the rest of the tribe. Because if I start to identify as an individual with different needs, I might get kicked out of the tribe or kicked out of community. And that's not safe. And we're kind of going back to really primal beliefs and feelings around community and standing out here. But I have a real, real ingrained sense that that's what it is. We're not allowed to be individuals, because if we're too loud or if we take up too much space, we'll get rejected. And this can take lots of us back to childhood around not being fussy, or not being a show off.
I think it's
not being an awkward child.
Could it also be about us having always been given the answers from those in authority to us?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Therefore,
who are we to question authority? Yeah. We've been brought up to bow down to authority since we were young children. You know, like authority of our parents, authority of other people's parents, authority at school. It's all about someone else knows better than we do. And I say this to my clients. It's like, okay, I've got some great ideas around how you can expand your capacity for pleasure in your body, but actually I'm not the guru of you. You need to figure out what helps you, and I can help you with that, and I can facilitate you through that process, and I can make suggestions for sure. And I can give you some information to start you off and set you some practices so that you can go off and explore. But it really is what works for you. I can't tell you that. Your lover can't tell you that. You need to figure this one out.
And so is it essentially something around mindset, and then there's also something around permission to be able to question things, be curious, sure. And also an expectation that, yeah, I think you've already said this, it's something around us having, being allowed to be happy, being allowed to be, have needs and express them and expect them to be heard whether yeah. and then people also having the choice whether or not they choose to meet your needs. And that could be around everything, and anything, can't it?
Yes, absolutely. And letting go of the expectation around people meeting your needs, because someone might say no to you one day, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you're a bad person or they're a bad person. It just means that at that moment they can't meet your needs, you know, without having to go into a pit of abandonment or rejection. That's where self-resourcing comes in, actually. So actually, how can I be a person in this world with my own needs and hold boundaries around those needs? And also when it comes to permission, especially there's been a big movement with women at the moment around the Me Too movement, and there's a lot of talk about consent, which is great, and it needs to be out there. So everyone's finding their voice and standing into their boundaries and using their no. But what we're still not hearing is giving women the opportunity to fully voice their yes. So for me, my work is all about really stepping into your yes and to be able to say yes to whatever it is in life that comes. You need to be able to figure out what is good for you and what isn't good for you in that moment.
So just not saying no doesn't mean you're saying yes.
Exactly.
And I've recognized that as part of my journey, actually. It's allowing, isn't it? It's just, it can be allowing, or it can be a state of freeze that you're not able to express. You don't want to say yes, but you don't want to say no. You know, and again, I'm relating this not necessarily to anything sexual, but to to just my general relationships and how we go along with things, rather than rock the boat, rather than even tune into what it is we really want. We know something's not really what we want, but we don't know enough to be able to voice it. And just,
we're so good at prioritizing other people's pleasure over our own comfort. Actually, we don't want to make other people uncomfortable by rocking the boat or by asking a request in case they don't want to give it to us, or in case they have to say no for whatever that thing is. So instead of making anyone uncomfortable, we're just going to stuff it down and pretend that it doesn't exist.
And that's our entire culture, isn't it? Men and women do that, and it and actually so we're all in this boat where we're wanting, I don't know. Nobody knows what they actually really want in life. Nobody knows how they how to express what they want when they do think they know what they want. Nobody knows how to accept rejection when they ask for what they want and they don't get it. Nobody really knows how to.
We're not really allowed to show feelings.
Yeah. And anybody who asks strongly for something they really want gets judged, and you can't help judging them because they're really bolshy or bossy or self-indulgent.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot to untangle, isn't there?
I think I was called a bossy girl. I don't think I'm a bossy girl. I think I've got good leadership skills. Thank you very much. there's a hell of a lot to untangle. And actually, all of that stuff that we're not saying and then we're not expressing, we're pushing back down into our body. So we're coming back round to that thing about the body holds on to, you know, things that are troubles for us, or challenges, or blocks, or traumas.
Grief and trauma. I mean, you were just about to touch on that before. And that's pretty big, isn't it? Because I feel like, you know, I know a lot of people who've gone through a very intense, you know, 2-3-4 year process with Tantra, and and have really, you know, gone through it with regards to having to face old trauma. And you know, I never would have originally thought that, you know, obviously as I learn a little bit more about the world of Tantra and energy and the body work and breath and all of those things, which are access points to trauma, I can understand how that comes about, but it's not really what you originally think. And I guess that's another thing that we're really not very resourced or aware of, are we, in our culture of grief and trauma, and we'll actually avoid it as much as possible in order to not have to face the difficult things.
or we'll talk about it, which can be helpful, talking therapy. But for after some point, it just kind of ends up going around in a bit of a rut, I think. Whereas if it's been something that you've taken into your body, then it needs to be, I really believe, worked out through the body or through body work. It's, yeah, it's fascinating, actually. And when people first start working with sexuality, they expect it to be all pleasure, but actually what comes out is a lot of suppressed fear sometimes, or tears, or emotional anger. And they don't know what it is, and it doesn't matter. They don't need to know what it is. That's the head. The head tells us we need to know why we're crying. Because actually it's just the body releasing something. And actually, if we look at orgasm, all orgasm is a release. And so when we're in that place of working with our body and we are crying, or we do find ourselves feeling angry or whatever, or laughing, because we suppress joy as much as we suppress anger as well. What happens is, if we fully let that out so that we can really process that, those on, it's like they're the things that are nearest the surface, the things that have been pushed down. And it's not until we've kind of let those go that we can start to access our greater capacity for pleasure.
So, I you know, I always feel I do grief work as well, and I sometimes worry that I see a lot of people building, you know, a lot of new and good ways of being, but on a foundation that is not solid, because there is so much grief and hurt and wounds there, whether that's conscious or unconscious. But if we've never had the opportunity to express or explore our grief and our trauma, then the likelihood is that there is going to be stuff there that
it's going to seep out in other ways.
If we're
not working on it, and if we're not talking about it, it's going to seep out in other ways, in unconscious behaviors towards people, towards our partners, or in ill health, or in ill mental health. I really believe that.
So body work, that's one way that you imagine, you know, we can release the grief that we store in our bodies.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that involve?
Well, it really depends. It depends on the person and what they want to explore. But body work generally means working through the body. So either with a practitioner like myself, hands on your body, or people can sometimes do it on themselves, depending on what the practice is, to hold and feel and release. Whether that's fear, numbness, anxiety. But generally, if we talk about sexological bodywork, when people come to me and they say, I can't connect with my partner, or I'm feeling numb in my genitals, for example, we can usually find that actually just some bodywork around that area of numbness, just pressing and holding, can release something, some tears, some shaking, some joy. And again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to think, oh, that's when, you know, my mum slapped me as a child or anything. That's not really the important bit, because the mind and the adult self has processed that experience as, actually, I was probably just a pain in the ass child at that moment, and that's not such a bad thing. But the body will have held on to that memory, and it will have a really, it will have an effect on our nervous system, you know. So when, and when we work with, so I work with sexological bodywork, but I'm also tantra trained. So the two, you know, so I've got this whole tool belt of resources that I pull on. And working with tantra, it talks about the return to innocence. So it's like we return ourselves to that innocent state of when we came into the planet without any of that preconceived ideas of what we should be or should do, or any of that conditioning around our beliefs, around our body and our pleasure. Or other things, but, you know, conditioning around our gender, conditioning around how we are with money, or, you know, all of those things that we kind of hold strong beliefs around. So tantra really works with kind of stripping back those things that we've learnt about ourselves, or think that we've learnt about ourselves, but actually we've just kind of been a little bit programmed. Which, and that could be scary, because it's almost like you're starting all over again. And when you realise that sometimes the people around you aren't the healthiest people, and your work isn't actually fueling you, and it's, you know, suddenly you've got to deal with the issue around your mum, because, you know, you've been struggling to connect with her, and all of these other things that we don't usually want to look at, so we shove them down. But actually, if we step onto this path with real bravery and curiosity and compassion, that it can open up to just living a fuller life.
Mm-hmm.
Less fear, less conditioning, and more empowerment.
And I would hope, you know, if you're healthier in yourself, you're having healthier relationships, which has a knock-on effect to your children, to your friendships, to your community.
To your work, what you're able to give out into the world, how you communicate with others. Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive ripple-out effect.
Mm. And then, you know, then we're talking about the effect of this on, you know, on a grander scale than that. You know, if we're able to interact and really connect with the benefit of having good relationships within our communities, then, you know, and then we're living in a world where we experience through our senses, through our bodies, and we're aware of that, and we're aware of, and we're able to discharge our difficult feelings when they happen, and we're able to really embody and appreciate the joy when we feel it, you know, that's the world that we want to live in, isn't it?
And baggage free. You know, I'm not meeting my partner with all of the baggage, because I've been able to find a way to consciously let that go. Or, you know, when I have an argument with my partner about the washing up, it's not about the washing up. It's about the thing that happened 6 weeks ago that we still haven't discussed. So actually, if you find a way to kind of step into those slightly more challenging experiences and conversations, but from a really resourced place, then you can speak and communicate with real clarity, and your body will lead you. Letting your body lead you instead of the mind.
Yes, I love this. Because I feel like, you know, me and my partner have been on a journey as well. And sometimes we reach a point where we really need to share difficult things. And we're able to do that and listen and notice how it makes us feel. I'm really, you know, I can be very reactive and defensive, or I have been, let's say, and I'm able to really notice that now. I'm able to really notice that very quickly and stop myself from going straight into those old patterns of defense or attack, essentially, and actually be able to move sideways, you know, out of that.
Well done.
Out of that one.
Sidestep yourself.
Yeah. And I used to wonder when I was aware of it, but I didn't really know what else to do to get out of it. I used to really go, what else is there? If you don't defend yourself and you're not attacking, what else is
what
there?
What are the other options?
And it's like, it's a whole world of amazingness whenever you actually discover that, you know, that's not the only way to respond.
Again, more curiosity and more innocence. If this isn't working for me, but I believe it's the only thing that I can do, let's just use innocent curiosity to feel into other opportunities.
I love you know, we're coming to the end of our chat now, and but I'm just laughing at myself because I seem to do this on all of my podcasts. I start I listen and I get really passionate about what I'm hearing, and then I paint a picture of this utopian future. It's like, yes, if we only did this, the world is going to be this amazing, connected, beautiful place. But actually, it's about holding that vision, isn't it? It's like, I'm not unrealistic. I realize how much is out there. I was a social worker, for goodness sake. You know, that's why I ended up on this journey, because I really felt I wanted to experience the really challenged side of how our society, what our society has created, really, you know, and through that, I had a massive, you know, a really acute awareness of how disconnected we can be, the damage that causes, and then, you know, what I believe can be a route to healing that. And that's, you know, that's through connection to ourselves, connection to each other, and then connection to the outer world, you know, the natural world, and through our senses, through being really embodied and aware and conscious, and using our human capacity to choose from a very, like you say, resourced place.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you'd like to share a little bit of things that you're doing right now that and ways that people could get in touch with you if they want to, and if they like the sound of the work, or at least find out more about what you do. And
oh, great, thank you. So I've got a website, and that's probably the best way to get in touch with me, www.jemayres.co.uk. sorry, that's jemayres. And on there, not only has it got information about my offerings working with people with cancer, it's also got information about my body work, but also my online work, because that's really, really thriving at the moment. Because we're all in a bit of challenged situation financially, often a lot of us, that I'm offering pay what you can afford circles, so men's circles, women's circles, couples workshops, so couples in lockdown, you know, who want to deepen intimacy, because now is the time, now that we're stuck together. And also other workshops around touch and sensuality and pleasure and genital massage and self-pleasure and all sorts going on. And I have retreats as well coming up. Let's say coming up, I'm praying coming up, depending on lockdown. I'm determined these retreats will go ahead. But also on my website, there's a free stuff page, which you might find interesting, I think. And on there, there's lots of different interviews and talks I've given, but also there's links to different videos I've made. And these can be helpful for resourcing. So breath meditations, movement meditations, but and also some self, some guided self-touch meditations as well. And some playlists as well. I've got Spotify playlists that I use for my work and really help people get into their body and, you know, kind of whether that's the soft, sensual side of themselves or the wild, you know, ecstatic side. That can really help when we're tuning into what we want and what we need.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and people can feel free to get in touch with me via the website, and I offer free consultation chats as well if anything I've said has touched anyone.
Wow, amazing. That sounds
Thank
great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Really happy to speak to you, and I wish you well in the coming weeks and months. Hopefully.
Have a restful lockdown. Have a restful lockdown.
Yes, thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope that conversation with Jem inspired you to follow your path of deep connection to your heart, mind and body. I love sharing information, and I'll always share the relevant links in my show notes. So do look there if you want to follow Jem up. And if you like the show, please consider supporting it at patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast. This is where you'll find bonus episodes, giveaways and behind the scenes content from me, as well as having my huge heartfelt thanks for any support that you can give me. Thank you to everyone who already supports us. It really does make a difference to the viability of the show. You can get most of what will be on offer for as little as £3 a month. And the Patreon offer for this episode is an interview that was conducted with me with a student from Bradford University who is conducting a study on the ecological crisis and resilience and people's emotional responses to that. So hop over to there if you're interested in that. It's a really heartfelt and open and raw, mainly unedited interview of all of my thoughts and feelings around that, and definitely speaks to a lot of the meaning that comes from me and why I do this work and why I do this podcast, which to me feels like a way of bringing together all of the incredible voices that are taking part in the regenerative culture that I am hoping we can bring about in our lifetime. So also, if you are in the north of England and would like to come for a nourishing and inspiring and healing day of songs that span time and place and sing around the fire, learning some new nature connection techniques and being with other people, then do look at the website www.livewild.org.uk, and you will see what we have on offer. There are also foraging courses and other offerings, not as many as usual because we're just getting back into the swing of things after lockdown, but yeah, anybody who's up in the north of England, then keep an eye out there for our offerings.
Please also subscribe on whatever app you use by clicking that little subscribe button below, and that way you'll get all of the upcoming episodes straight into your device. And if you can review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that's so helpful for our ratings. It, with the algorithms, it means that more people get to hear this podcast. So it really makes a difference if you could do that. The music that opens and closes the show is actually by my very own dad, Ray Johnson. And you can hear more of his music at www.soundcloud.com/visionray.